Father, we yield ourselves to you today as we hear your word. We ask that you will do great things today. We submit our hearts to you. Spirit of the living God, breathe upon us. Breathe upon our hearts, O God. Cause our ears to be open. Cause our hearts to be very receiving of your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. I started with us early this month. Faith as a pathway to open doors. And we went on to discuss it. On Wednesday, we discussed faith extinguishers. And I told us in that service that there are things that usually put out the flames of faith in our hearts. It's important you know that when faith is under attack, your life is under attack. An attack on your faith is an attack on your life. That is why it's important. Jesus told Peter, let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 22, 31 to 32. Luke chapter 22, 31 to 32. I read from here. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus was talking to Peter and telling him, your life is under an imminent attack. Satan has put in an application that he may sift you like wheat. He wants to mess you up, Peter. But I prayed for you. Guess what was the prayer point? I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Jesus was telling of this sifting. When what will happen wants to happen, and it eventually happens, if your faith can remain intact, then there is no problem. We talked about in Sunday school the issue of dealing with the loss and how to handle losses. One of the intentions of Satan when people go through loss is to attack their faith. Listen, everything Job went through was not because Satan was interested in the cars or in the houses. No. In fact, those things are useless to Satan. The real thing is after is your faith. It's not about those things that he killed the children. He took the houses, he took the lands, he took all those things. The major thing is after is the faith. Jesus was saying men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you read through that chapter, when you get down to verse 8, you will see he said, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Listen, the real thing is the faith. Anything that affects your faith wants to kill you. You need to know it so that you will protect your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 2 tells us that by faith, the elders obtained a good report. So which means the moment faith is subtracted from a person's life, that person cannot get a good report. Good reports in the kingdom is only possible by faith. And so when there are things that seek to extinguish or put out the flames of your faith, that thing actually plans to destroy you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. If your faith fails, your life has failed. By faith, we can obtain a good report, but without faith, we can only obtain bad reports. So we want to quickly go into how do we deal with these faith extinguishers? Because the purpose of these extinguishers is to kill your faith and put it out. Let me remind us quickly the six extinguishers I talked about, even though we discussed it as well in the first service. Just to remind us in the second service, number one is sin. Number one extinguisher is sin. Number two is fear and worries. Fears and worries. Number three extinguisher is bad company. Bad company. The people you hang around. Number four is historical reports. And I try to explain to us that most times the things we have suffered in the past, or the things that are surrounded our beds, the things that have happened in the past, your past relationships, historical things around your life, in fact, at times even your family background can be an issue. So you always reminded, is it not just the carpenter's son? What else? What good can come out of Nazareth? Why? Because that is his roots. That can also extinguish your faith if you allow it. Number five, which our pastor did a lot of things in the morning. Let's celebrate happily. Celebrate Pastor BC. That was awesome in the morning. She majored on unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is something that can destroy your faith. I don't want to talk about it because I'm sure by now, if you have anyone in mind, you should be forgiving already. Why number six is laziness. Laziness. I don't want to dwell so much on that. If you have them written out, you will now go into the next subject. How do we now deal with these faith extinguishers? Number one, how do we deal with sin? Repent of every known and unknown sin. Repent of every known and unknown sin. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. 1 Timothy chapter 1, from verse 5 to 6. Ladies and gentlemen, when you become comfortable with sin, then you have an emergency in your hands. I repeat, when you become comfortable with sin, you have an emergency in your hands. Believers by nature are creatures of righteousness. But when a man begins to get comfortable with unrighteousness, it becomes a problem. Sin as sin, believers at times can fall into sin, but they don't remain in sin. They immediately get back to grace. But when suddenly you notice that you are becoming comfortable with sin, you need to repent. Don't tell me I've given my life to Christ in 2001. Listen, the more you walk this earth, you could accumulate dust. You could get to a certain point in life where you become so comfortable and familiar with God that the things you hitherto said no to, you begin to accommodate them. And one of the things that happens to you when this happens is that your conscience becomes deadened. Before now, when you see bad reports in the office, something reacts inside of you. When you see a young lady who is not dressed well, something reacts inside of you. There are some dresses you can't wear. There are some places as a young man you can't go to. There are some friends you can't go to at the time you gave your life to Christ. But suddenly, you are getting comfortable with sin. Now the end of the commandments is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience. Ladies and gentlemen, your conscience is critical in this matter. Your conscience is critical. The moment a Christian deadens his conscience, and I will tell you how it happens. The first time you committed fornication, you cried. They told you, when you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. And ladies and gentlemen, you tasted it as a young person. You are thinking something strange will happen to you. You woke up and noticed you are still normal. What happened? You tried it the second time, nothing happened. The third time, nothing happened. Before you knew it, you carried on. The man who discipled us back in school told us that if you are a virgin, remain a virgin before you get married. Why? the moment you cross that line, it becomes more difficult to deal with. These are things that are already leaving our pulpits. But God must have remnants to tell us. Every unrighteousness is sin. When you deaden your conscience, it becomes an emergency. Satan will tell you, you've done it already. Now continue. Okay, what happened to you? Just continue. Listen, don't accept it. When you have an issue of sin, don't continue. Repent and return to the master. The good thing I want to let you know is that the master, Jesus, is waiting for you. The prodigal son was a prodigal son, yet he was still the son of the father. Even though he was away from the house, the father was waiting for him. You cannot go too far from God, guys. At any point, you remember that suddenly, this is not who I used to be. Before I came to Lasso, I knew how my life was. Suddenly, I'm in Lasso, and it looks like I look different from what I used to be. You look at the mirror, you say, this is not you, Wally. This is not you. The person that came into Lasso came in with some fire. Unfortunately, things around school happened. We became so busy, and suddenly we became so conversant and comfortable with unrighteousness. Came to tell you that if you're in that position, don't keep lingering and wondering. Don't worry, God will forgive us. Yes, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The Bible says, God forbid. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that we are discussing open doors. Several times I've seen people say, God is a scam. Why? I asked for open door, it didn't happen. Most time, man doesn't check himself. Most time, man is very quick to blame God. Most times, man leaves the responsibility from himself and puts it on God. Most times, we are not sincere to ourselves. Listen, you can lie to everybody, you can lie to the pastor, but you can't lie to yourself. So if you're in service today and you've lost track of Jesus, you are the one I came to talk to this morning. You must give your life back to him. And everyone who is here, who has strayed into church, you have been so tired. A lot is... I told somebody, I said, where did you lose your fire? The young man came in to ask for a request in the office. And I sat him down by the Holy Ghost and we began to talk. By the time we were done, he told me, I don't need that thing I came again for. I need to go and get back my fire. Most Christians were doing well. Your finances was doing well. Your marriage was doing well. Everything was working well until you allowed this to happen. Trace it. Everything was doing well. Those days when you knelt down and cried, before the sun rises, God answered. You know what I'm saying? But suddenly you've gotten so easy, you've gotten so acquainted with sin. Samson was a son of love until he began to play with strange women. Everywhere Samson went into, he saw strange women. You need to know it is not on the first day that things will spoil. Usually, Satan will keep sending as a trap. Gradually, you are getting stuck. Before you know it, you become addicted. The first day you masturbated, you know. You were uncomfortable, but suddenly you have gotten comfortable with it. Every yoke of addiction in this service is broken in the name of Jesus. Number two way to extinguish or deal with the extinguisher, which was fear and worry as stated, is rather than worry, pray about the issue. Rather than worry, do what? Pray about the issue. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6. Look at it. Can we look at the board? Want to go? Be careful for nothing. Read together. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The Bible says, casting your cares upon Jesus, for he cares for you. Listen,
At times in life, certain things can happen that will bring fear and worries. That's the truth. Saying it doesn't happen is denying the fact and denying the obvious. In Lagos, at times, I wonder how people who don't have God as their father cope. The stress in this city is so much that it can deaden you and make you run mad. That's the truth. The fuel price can torment your mind. Issues at work. Terrible bosses. Terrible lecturers who are dragging you up and down. Who will tell you A is for God. B is for me. C is for you. We all went through those seasons. But there's a way to deal with them. How do you deal with them? Someone tell your neighbor, pray. Tell your neighbor, pray. Tell your neighbor, pray. Prayer can never be overemphasized. Don't join people who say Nigeria or Africa prays too much. You can never pray too much. Quote me anywhere. You can't pray too much. You can't. Because when they say it, you pray too much, and yet the economy is not working. I ask them, don't you fornicate too much? How come nobody's saying we are fornicating too much? How come nobody's saying we cheat too much, we lie too much? How come nobody's saying it? How come we're attacking the things that are spiritual? We pray too much, but we don't lie too much. We don't cheat too much. Rather than put your head in worries, and these days you get young people committing suicide. For what? He's so burdened that before you know, Satan tells you just end it all. When you die, they will miss you. Suddenly you kill yourself. Why? A hymn writer says, we carry so much burden all because we do not lay it at the cross. Be intentional about your prayer life. Pray about the issue. When there is a matter, pray about it. Your father is sick, they called you from home. Pray first. When your child is sick, don't think of drugs first. Pray first. You checked and there is no food. Pray first. Stop complaining. Pray first. No matter what happens, pray first. Always check in with God. That is how to unburden your heart. Suddenly, your relationships seems is shaking. Pray about it. That is how to unburden your heart. Prayer is a technology through which we can contact the Father concerning issues around our lives. Everyone who is burdened with anything in this service, by the reason of the anointing, the Lord will take care of them in the name of Jesus. Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30 says, come unto me, all you that are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Prayer is a place where we exchange our burdens for his rest. Prayer is a place where we exchange our burdens, the things disturbing our hearts. In this world, problem will never cease. You need to know it now. Listen, in this world, there will always be problem. But God has created a mechanism through which we do those exchange. So we exchange our burdens with Jesus' peace in the place of prayer. If you neglect it, you will suffer so much. Tell the neighbor, pray. Hallelujah. The third thing, how do we deal with this faith extinguishers? Intentionally separate yourself from bad company. Intentionally separate yourself from bad company. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 and 17 to 18. 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Can we read together? I want to go. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship had righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion had light with what? Darkness. The next verse. Verse 18. Go verse 18. Go to verse 18. Okay, no, 17. 17 and 18. 17. Thank you. 17, please. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Verse 18. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. Ladies and gentlemen, what is a bad company? A bad company is any company that will not allow you or that will undermine the word of God concerning your life. As Christians, you cannot maintain such friends. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 10 says, when sinners entice you, do what? Consent thou not. One of the major faith killers, even in the time of Jesus, were people, the crowd, friends, families. It could even be your father or your mother. People who will tell you, don't mind them. When God has given you a word, people will tell you, are you sure it's possible? There are people you sit with. The moment you are done, 5 minutes, your faith is finished. You don't need them in your life. Friends who will tell you, how can you be dreaming of this big thing? Are you sure you are good enough? People will tell you the things you are not good enough to do. You can't speak well. You are not tall enough. You are too short. You are too fat. You are too thin. You are everything. You are so this. You are so that. People who will never encourage you to be the best you are supposed to be. Separate yourself from them. There are friends in your life today, you will need to delete their numbers if you want to enjoy faith. Because as far as they are in your life, they will never allow you anything good. Most times, these people are realistic. I'm not saying they are telling you the truth. They remind you of the things you can do. They always tell you these things you can do. At times, it could even be your spouse, unfortunately. That is why I want people, don't marry people who will douse you. People who are worried about your success. There are husbands who cannot stand their wives doing better than them. I'm telling you, I have seen it. I'm shocked. And I'm wondering, why are you competing with this woman? Don't you know if she becomes this thing, she will not have money? Like, seriously? I can't even wait for my wife to have all the money in this world. So I will rest. But you know them. At times, you are even cutting some of them. You want to marry them. You know, he has not married you, but yet he has finished all your self-esteem. And yet you are asking me, Pastor, do I marry him? You know, every time you are around this guy, there are ladies who struggle every time to meet up. When you are with this guy, you feel you are too short. So you always wearing heels, high heels that you can't solve. You are stretching on. The next are telling you, you are too slim, go and eat. You are looking for ways to eat. At times, you are too fat. You are looking for everything. You are too. Don't allow them your space. Tell your neighbor, be wise. You must be intentional about bad company. Separate yourselves from them. Choose your friends wisely. Let only men of faith hang around you. Relationships can be draining if they are not going towards the same direction. The Bible says, can two walk together except the what? They be agreed. I choose my friends. I don't have many of them. I choose my friends. Trust me. I choose my friends. How much more marriage? What are you doing with a man that slaps you? He's always beating you. He has not married you yet. He has given you 3 slaps. Every time you are wearing a big glass covering your face, what happened to you? I had an accident. Meanwhile, it's the man you want to marry that slapped you. And you are still putting your head. Pastor, I love him. May God deliver you in the name of Jesus. If you marry such people, you will convert him. You are not the Holy Ghost. See, you cannot convert any man. Men, you cannot convert any lady. What you are seeing today is the best of him. I'm telling you, it's in courtship that you get the best. So if already he's slapping you in courtship, you can be rest assured he's going to give you smack. You know, smackdown. He will give you smackdown everywhere. You will rest in peace. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Number 4, use the blood of Jesus to deal with any past hurts. This is very important. Use the blood of Jesus to deal with any past hurt. Let me explain what I mean. You can take down Hebrews 9:13-14. Hebrews 9:13-14. Listen, at times, if you even need to do restitution, seek counsel and do those restitutions. Satan is very smart. He has a way of keeping people down by the things that happened 5, 6, 10 years ago, and someone will just tie you, camp around it. Do you know I committed an abortion 2 years ago? Who says that's why you should not have a baby today? Do you know I stole 14 years ago? What I'm saying, I have counseled people who are dealing with this. Pastor, I can't move on. I stole this money. If it's disturbing you, meet the pastors. Let's guide you. These things are not so deep. Satan has a way of magnifying things. If you allow him, he will magnify something and keep you there. Listen, when you confess a sin, believe that Jesus has washed it. The same blood that cleanses an armed robber is the same blood that cleanses the one who killed. It's the same quantity of blood that cleanses the one who lied. It's not going to be different. It's the same blood. Tell your neighbor, stop feeling guilty. If you confess your sins, Jesus has said he's willing to forgive. Always remember the prodigal son. As he made the attempt towards the house or towards home, it was the father who rushed to him. You don't understand. Jesus is more willing to forgive you than you are willing to forgive yourself. Trust me. The Bible says in Revelation 3:20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and do what? And knock. If any man should do what? Open the door. I will come in. Unfortunately, many have not forgiven themselves. I'm discussing historical reports. I know it was you. Your name was Saul those days. You killed them, yes. You killed Stephen, yes. But the one who killed Stephen has now been washed with the blood. That's what I'm saying. Stop camping around it and explaining, do you know how terrible I am? You, it was you in the past. I'm saying when the blood comes in, you have been washed. You must forgive yourself. I know, unfortunately, many of us on the altar make it look so bad. But I'm telling you, there is no big and there is no small sin. Every sin will lead you to hell. Some of you, you are born in a Christian home. You've never known anything bad. Suddenly, one day, somehow, you repented. You don't have so much history. In quotes. Why another person has killed, has maimed people, but has also repented. Both of you before Jesus are the same. You need to know it. Learn it. Both of you at that time is what? You are now the same. There is no longer Jew nor Gentile. Once we are in Christ, we are new creatures. Tell your neighbor, I am a new creature. Tell your neighbor, I am a new creature. Then you must forgive yourself. Most times you want to pray. As you knelt down, Satan will play those videos, the things you have done in the past. Tell him, Satan, shut up, I've been forgiven. Tell him, shut up, do what? And stop. This shut up is not in your heart. I'm not saying say it to your heart. I'm saying shout it. Shut up, I've been forgiven. Every voice of accusation, every voice speaking against your life and your destiny, we shut their mouths in the name of Jesus. Use the blood of Jesus to deal with any past hurts. Number 5. Unforgiveness. Our sisters dwell so much on it. But let me just say a few things. We say forgive and forget, forgive and forget. We know practically it's almost impossible to forgive and forget. But let me tell you how to do it. If you want to truly forgive someone, the number one and the best way to do it is to pray for that person. So, how do I deal with that matter? Pray for those who despitefully use you. Matthew chapter 5 verse 44. Someone is set free in the name of Jesus. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Is it possible? Does it make sense? Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And do what? And do what? And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. I know these things are not discussed in church, but one of the major ways to forgive those who have hurt you is to pray for them. Try it when you get home. At times you are praying for that person, you are crying. This guy has given you a terrible breakfast. Meanwhile, how do you court somebody for 13 years without marriage? You see, we are going to be having relationship Wednesdays here at this church. God. Many people don't love themselves. Do you know what 13 years means, sir? 13 years means, do you know if you have 30 years experience, you are an expert in something? You give somebody 13 years of your life for free. No marriage, no commitment. I needed to ask you, who is your father? But it's okay, let's not go into that matter. Let me go back to what I'm discussing. Let's assume it was you who collected breakfast after 13 years. Oh my God, it's so painful. But what do you do? Pray for them. As bad as it is, pray for them, and I will explain why. If you refuse to forgive them, you won't move forward as well. I have handled a case of a breakup, and I told the young man, and I told the young lady, you will forgive this guy. When you forgive him, God will give you your own husband, and God will give him his own wife too. Nothing bad will happen to you and happen to him, in Jesus' name. The lady was, I said, yes, nothing will happen to them. Let me be honest with you, ladies. Most times you knew that this relationship was not going anywhere. You saw the signs. Just that we don't talk about it. Most times you saw the signs. You knew it's not going anywhere. You knew this guy is not going. You've seen his packaging. This guy is not, no track record, nothing. You knew. But no, you want to be having someone talk to you. At least let it be that. At all. Now, ain't bad, Pastor. Because I've learned to look beyond the tears of ladies. Trust me. You saw the signs that you should not be dealing with this unserious boy. But no. Some ladies will say, sir, you don't understand. He's my first love. Who told you that because he's your first love, you marry him? Who told you? Who told you? And because he's my first. Who told you? Let me be honest with you. Most times, people don't marry their first. Most times. Don't quote me, but I'm telling you most times from my experience, we've seen it. Why? There are many things you don't know yet. Trust me, you are very inexperienced. So you are pushing it and pushing it. You are doing everything possible for it to work. When you are working too hard, that is a time to back off. Leave him or leave her. Some brothers keep chasing women as if. A particular young man told me, he says, I don't know, I like this girl. I've tried. The girl is not answering me. So I told him, come. He came down with me after work. I told him, come. He came down. I told him, do your hand like this. He did it. I said, the second one. I said, do your leg like this. Like this. I said, the second one. I said, turn. He did like this. I said, do you have any deformity inside? Maybe I'm not seeing. The one I'm not seeing. He said, no, I'm okay. And you are here crying for a young lady. Come on, go and live your life. How dare you sit camp around a woman? You are crying. No, some of you are doing as if men don't cry now. If I don't, Pastor, if I don't marry that girl, it's a lie. Move on. Especially brothers, stop doing that thing. How do you wait and cry for one sister? I could even understand the young ladies. We are trying to help them. But for brothers, come on, move on. Move on fast. Listen, a better sister is waiting for you. And most times the sisters are around you. Trust me. This particular young lady is tossing you up and down. You are wasting time there. Move on. Jesus said, when they persecute you in this city, what do? Go to the next. I am not that young man. Any young lady was going to play with your heart. Don't play with my heart. Move fast. Tell your neighbor, move fast. Glory be to God. Number six and the last. How to deal with laziness. Put structures and systems in place. Put structures and systems in place. Part of the reason why people don't have prayer lives is because there is no structure and system around it. But today is not the day to discuss prayer. Let me talk about your preparations. We are discussing open doors. I'm going to preach a message here. Maybe next one, I don't know yet. Preparing for the open doors. Yes, we are trusting God. Yes, we have prayed. We are trusting God. He has spoken. It's going to happen. Question, what are you doing to prepare for that next level? You must discipline yourself to prepare. There are courses you need to take. There are certifications you need to take. Anything you need to do to come into that next level, do it. Stop waiting for anybody. Listen, nobody is coming to save you. The last time you went to school was 5, 7, 10 years ago when you finished BSc. Even the business you are doing, do you know people take a course and go to Lagos Business School to go and learn? Entrepreneurs, to go and grow their knowledge. Listen, what you don't know is beneath, is beyond you. You are working somewhere. I had a young man who was working somewhere and I asked him how long. He said, almost 14 or 15 years. How much are you paid? For 40,000. And I asked him, is it 40,000 used to, as in, to take care of a family? Brothers, stop saying the sisters are materialistic. Listen, challenge yourself. Listen, challenge yourself. Challenge yourself to get better. That's what I'm saying. You've not gotten all the money, but that does not mean you will remain there. It is one thing to be at this level now, but we are expecting that in 5 years you are growing. We want to see growth trajectory. And how does it come? By discipline. It's too early to fold your hands and do nothing. We are young people. Develop yourself. By the end of this year, how many certifications do you want to have? How many courses do you want to do? You need to enroll that MBA class. You've been postponing it. Enroll. Start. Time is running out. Enroll and move fast. It's okay, you have an OND, but what will you do about it? Will you keep complaining? It's okay to tell me you have an OND in 2026, but by 2028, we should see that you have moved. And how do you move? By discipline. Tell your neighbor, discipline. Tell your neighbor, discipline. How do you discipline yourself? Set alarms. Set what? Alarms. Set what? Alarms. Set what? Alarms. Alarms don't have any emotions. When it's time to read, you'll be shouting, Emeka, stand up and read your books. You are in school. It is not a crime to come out with first class. If you are a student, become the best. If you work, be the best. Anything you do, strive to be the best. As you do, heaven will open over your life in the name of Jesus. Finally, in conclusion, the Bible calls believers to use the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, as noted in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. To counter these extinguishers, believers are encouraged to stay in the word, engage in fervent prayers, become disciplined, remove negative influences, effectively keep your spiritual fire, prepare for the open doors by discipline. Shall we bow our heads down?